It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
So, William, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
You ever burn yourself?
Accidentally, of course. Yeah.
Yes.
Several times. Lots of times.
Have you ever burned yourself because of your own stupidity?
Oh my gosh, yes. I mean, that's pretty much the only time
I
burn myself for my own stupidity.
Have you ever burned yourself because you tried to hold on to fire?
I mean, it seems similar to me when you grab something like a hot pan that just came out of the oven or whatever, and you should know that it's hot, but you grab it anyway without any.
This is the deal. I had never done that. I've done things where, like, it was my own stupidity because I'm like, yeah, I'm trying to reach at it from this way, which means my forearm brushes against, something else.
Right. Yep.
But
that one too.
Earlier in the week, so Sunday and Monday, the weather was actually nice. And so I grilled both days. One was a family thing with the neighbors, and another, I did this whole thing with steak and I made roasted potatoes in the grill and mushrooms. We're very big on mushrooms right now. Trish loves mushrooms. I also love mushrooms. And we have a mushroom guy at the farmer's market. And so every week I get some mushrooms and I've been making some amazing things. And I'm trying all the different kinds. Yes, and I tried lion's mane mushrooms, which are, they look like brains, but kind of furry brains. They're huge. And I chop them up. And I stuck them on, I have these metal barbecue skewers that Trish got me a while back because I was getting into grilling. And I stuck them all, and I got it on just one skewer. And then I sort of marinated a little bit and I put them out there. And so I go out, and the weather's nice enough. I just set up a chair and I just hang out by the grill because I don't want to stand up that whole time, but this way I can check on it and things. So put the potatoes in a foil thing and close it because they're going to take a while. So I'm sitting there. And I'm like, okay, it's been about 10 minutes. I should start the other thing. Sorry. I also put the mushrooms in there on the top indirect heat because you could burn them eventually. But in general, overcooking the mushrooms is the least of my worries here. And so I just set them there. I'm like, okay, now it's been about 10 minutes. I'm going to open it up. And then I'm going to turn the mushrooms. I'm going to put the steaks on. So open up. And oh. I have one here. There's like a circular, a metal skewer. There's like a circular thing. Just straight up grabbed it to turn it.
Yep.
And not even like it took a good one Mississippi for the pain register to hit my brain. So I had it halfway turned practically. And now I'll see if the camera can see it right. Yeah, you can see that white streak on there.
Right, yeah.
That's a burn, and then I got a little one on here.
Jeez Louise.
And so that sucks. I stick them in my mouth. I spend the remaining 20 minutes out there just sucking on my fingers. And they kind of hurt, but I can deal with it. And eventually, it's not as bad or whatever. And now it's just scar tissue. I'm sort of fucking with it. However, we live in the 21st century. So I have a new problem.
Because you do this.
My biometrics.
Oh, that. Oh my gosh. I didn't even think of that. I thought it just
didn't
hurt
either
tried to do
until the first time I tried to unlock my phone and found it remarkably difficult because I have changed my fingerprints. And what I've really done, because those are, it's like a percentage thing. Because like it doesn't fit my whole finger. So it like is a percentage of it. So it still can work. I just have upped the difficulty level on myself by just saying, well, I'm going to redact this one stripe.
Redact. I like that.
Yes. I'm like, you don't get to read this part at all. You just have to hope. So yeah, it's, I'm getting real good at remembering to unlock with this hand now. Because the four fingerprints I have are these four. So the two burned ones and this. So yeah, that was a fun sort of, oh yeah, we're living in the future now. So this has unintended consequences. Yeah, and it's just, it was absolutely nothing at the time. Because, like, I really held it for quite a bit. But now, like, to think about it, like, just thinking about it again, a shiver goes down my spine. Because it was just very hot metal. And I just...
Yeah, I have done that kind of thing before. Sad to report.
Anyway. Hello, everyone! Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast... sponsored by Veggie Poops, the only pet litter made entirely from potato skins and celery strings. Veggie Poops, the cat litter so good you could eat it. Disclaimer, do not eat Veggie Poops after cats have used it. Also, despite its edibility, legally we have to say it is not food. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 589.
Yeah, I decided what I'm going to do now is just make up sponsors to make us seem more impressive, and then maybe real ones will be like, I want to get in on that Veggie Poops action.
Oh yeah, and you know, what we should probably tell people is it's totally versatile. I'm a vegetarian. I like to eat breakfast cereal. You put some clean Veggie Poops in a bowl and some V8, pour some V8 over it.
There you go. You've got
all of your, vegetable requirements for the whole day.
Yeah. So. And if you really don't like eating different things, big bowl of it. You don't got to eat the whole thing that night. Heat it up. You got soup.
You know, I didn't even think of that, but that's a good one. Yeah.
When I say save it, like put it in the fridge or something, or you will come home to just a giant cat turd in your cereal bowl.
Right.
So, cause they love it too, but you know, for different reasons.
Yeah, we can't stress enough making sure that it's not been used.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, like, otherwise it's just the toxoplasmosis bullet, we call it in the shop.
So we can't be responsible for any damage or injury. We are making that comes
this very clearly. There, the bag says this very clearly. We had to negotiate heavily with the FDA on this, if you know what I mean, beforehand. It's been a long money on Ibs Bray, but it is legal now. Enjoy. And also, if you use the code The Magical Talking Hat Podcast at checkout, you get 10% added on. Yeah, which is why not going to tell you the website. Anyway, if you're just joining us, that's a made up sponsor. If you're not just joining us, you know that. We have a hat is magical because it has its own email address, and you all write in sometimes to that email address, with whatever you want, and then we magically are forced by the hat to read it on the air and talk about it. And yeah, good times. How's your week been?
Pretty relaxing, really. I mean, there's no school this week. We've been watching some stuff, but not anything really to talk about, I don't think. Or I'm not interested in talking about it anyway, but
I already know it. I don't know. I realized I didn't get the thing out for the emails because some people actually emailed us. Not a lot, but enough to keep it going. We're alive.
It seems like there was just a little something I could talk about, but I don't remember what it was. It must not be important. But anyway, how's your week been? You always have something interesting to say.
Do I? We finished up Legendary Season 3. Really, really enjoyed it. Really got into it. Confident there will be a season 4. we started last night watching an Apple show called After Party. And I don't know how I feel about it yet. It's kind of bonkers. The whole thing is there was a 15-year high school reunion, and one of the alumni is like a famous actor and pop star now. And they all went to an after party at his house, and he ended up getting killed. And a detective is there who has all the people and is going to solve it that night. And it's sort of a Rashomon thing where they interview different people, and the same situation happens over again. And it's different that time and stuff. And it has a lot of people in it I like, comedian wise. Tiffany Haddish plays the detective. Ben Schwartz is in it. Who is that? Ileana Glazer is in it. The woman who played Vicky in Good Place is in it. And then several other people who, like, I know to see them, but I don't know their names particularly. Oh, Ike Barinholtz is in it. It's a lot of good comedians. It's a lot going on. It's very solidly a comedy, but it's a little all over the place. It's a limited series, I believe, because, I mean, you got to solve the mystery. So I'm enjoying it, but yeah, it's a little crazy at this point. So I don't know what I'll think. But actually, before the but, I have to tell a story because I think it's hilarious. No one's going to care, including you, but I'm going to do it anyway. So we're also in the middle of watching season 2 of Mr. Mayor on Hulu. You can also watch it on Peacock. I would recommend it. It has already been canceled, but it's very a sitcom kind of thing. And I think it is very accurate to say it is 30 Rock, but now, and instead of a TV show and a TV company, it is the mayor's office of Los Angeles.
Oh, Los Angeles. Wow.
Yes. And I say it's 30 Rock because it is heavily, one of the creators of it is Tina Fey, and it absolutely has that vibe. But the idea is Ted Danson is a rich asshole who sort of accidentally managed to get elected mayor. Like, I mean, he ran for mayor, but like it's a little bit Trumpy-ish through saying certain populist things and having no idea what he was doing. He got elected and hijinks are ensuing. And it's quite funny. And the second season, I think, is funnier. And the major foil is this very long term city councilman played by Holly Hunter, who's like supposed to be like the uber progressive, but like the old school progressive. And so she's always putting together binders with elaborate things about how Los Angelinos like have diarrhea more often than other people in the country and what we're going to do about it, that kind of thing. So there's a lot of back and forth there, but there was a recent episode that involved the Holly Hunter character, who is, I'd say, quite curmudgeonish in her way. And, she needed a stress outlet. And so there's lots of bits of her like contacting different people and them talking about what they do. And at one point she gets in the situation of taking BuzzFeed quizzes is what they were trying out. And it's not working really well. But then the final joke of the scene is they're like, oh, but wait, let's take this one so you can see which Sex and the City character you are. And she says, don't need to. It's Magda. And the other person is like, oh yeah. And then the scene ends. And Trish, no idea, takes me a couple seconds and I start cracking up because there is no Magda in actual Sex and the City. However, there was several years ago on an episode of Saturday Night Live, I believe when Tina Fey was hosting after she had already left, where they do a joke episode about how Sex and the City is having this new character named Magda. And it's played by Tina Fey. And the whole joke is that she's this Russian immigrant woman. And so like they have all these problems and Magda's like, in my village, if we didn't eat, we called that a normal day. Like all this, like juxtaposition of like how hard her life was and why the hell it would matter now. And I'm like, I love how deep that cut is. And it just tickled me. And as I said, nobody cares. But as I've said many times, I have this platform, small though it may be, to do whatever the hell I want. So I want to tell that story because nobody would listen to it like normally freely in the world, because why would they? It's a dumb story. But I can make you all listen. All right. Anyway, back to the butt. I like big butts. Cannot lie. We did finally see Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Oh.
Which I am now much better at saying, because if you see the movie, it makes a little more sense, like that specific phrasing. Like before then, I'd be like, all the time, all the things, stuff happened. Like I didn't remember the title exactly, but now I'm like, no, Everything Everywhere All at Once. I still like calling it other stuff, but so you remember The Matrix?
Yep.
By which I mean the first film.
Yeah.
The 1999 blockbuster, The Matrix.
Yep.
When did you first see it, roughly?
I mean, I think I saw it when it came out in theaters.
Yeah, us too. And I don't know if this was your similar experience, but at the time, my big thing, I mean, I really liked it, but my big thing was, I'm like, this changes everything. This changes movies for me. This changes, this clearly changes the technology by which movies are made. This changes how I think about films, and this changes my perspective on the world to a degree. At the time, it was just mind blowing. As time has gone on, you know, and some of that may be that, like, a lot of the new and interesting things that came out of that have now been beaten to death by imitators and its own sequels and things like that. But right. At the time, I was like, this is huge in terms of movies and in terms of, like, my personal perspective and things like that. That is how I feel right now about Everything Everywhere All.
Wow.
Like, I have never seen a movie like this. I really liked it, except the parts I really didn't like, but I'm like not mad at him for that, because it's just all making me think about so many things. And it's such a different sort of movie, and it's so flawlessly done. And it's, I'm never going to stop thinking about it. I'm going to watch it more times. It's fascinating to me. I don't know how long that feeling will last. I have been Matrixed before, but for the moment, I don't want to jinx anything, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's also a movie that will not get a sequel. It couldn't. And if it did, it would either be wholly unrelated somehow or really, really awful. It's not a movie I want to do much for in terms of spoiling. I will say it involves Michelle Yeoh as a Chinese immigrant in, I don't know where they are exactly, somewhere in the US, and she and her husband own a laundromat and are very much in the barely scraping by kind of deal. And then weird shit happens that involves the multiverse, and it goes from there. It is many, 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 many genres. I would say if I had the primary ones I would probably pick is it's a comedy, sci-fi, martial arts film. As I said, the lead is Michelle Yeoh. Her husband and her daughter, her 16-year-old daughter, who I'd say are the other two sort of leads in the film, are played by two actors whose names I cannot remember, but One, as I think I brought up before, the husband is the guy who was Data from the Goonies and Short Round from Temple of Doom as a kid.
Hmm.
And basically hasn't acted since. Apparently has been behind the scenes doing productions and stuff like that. And the daughter is, the only place I know her from is she plays a character named May, who is introduced in season 3 of Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. And it is such a different character in both performance and in styling that even though I thought I recognized her in a trailer, when we started the movie, I was like, I guess I was just wrong / racist. And then I looked it up and I'm like, no, that's actually her. But it's just such a transformation. It's amazing. Jamie Lee Curtis also plays a large role in this film. James Hong is also in this film, because you couldn't make a film like this and not cast James Hong. It would be an insult that no one could stand. And all of them, all five of them, do incredible jobs. The three leads in particular. It's a movie that had those three parts not had really solid actors, it probably would have gone to shit. But they fucking nailed it. It also has some incredibly awesome martial arts fight scenes. And I'm not a guy who's particularly big on that, but I really liked it. It's also almost 2.5 hours long. I was not bothered. Trish got bored during a decent chunk of the first half. Apparently because basically she kind of didn't care about the fight scenes. And there are quite a few. I thought they were brilliant. And I was sort of locked into the whole premise. And so it didn't even occur to me. So I don't know that she had the same reaction I do, but I'm not going to say it's like my favorite movie ever or anything, but I absolutely recommend it to anyone. Unless you're like sci-fi, I hate sci-fi. Or you're like martial arts, I hate martial arts. Or you're like Chinese people, I hate Chinese people. Then maybe it's not for you. But otherwise, yes. I will say it is a movie, in my opinion, you have to pay attention to. And we had an issue because sometimes people speak in either Cantonese or Mandarin. It both happened. And the subtitles for that were right underneath the captions that we had on, because we usually have the captions on. And it would make it tricky. We didn't ever lose anything. I think we would have lost more if we hadn't had the captions on. But you did have to sort of look carefully and heavily use your context clues. So if we were watching it on Amazon Prime, you basically can get it any place you can buy a digital movie right now, and it'll cost you like $20. We got it on Amazon Prime because I have things there. Now we own it, and so I can watch it again there. But yeah, cannot recommend it enough. It is a new kind of movie, in my opinion. And I really liked it. That's all I got, I think.
Okay.
You doing anything for 4th of July?
So, I mean, that's actually a very good question.
I had it planned in advance. It was the one thing I was confident to bring to this episode.
I don't know what we're going to do exactly. I mean, there are some options still. You know, my family likes to plan things pretty late, so there might be a thing. But like, let's say I test positive for COVID. Well, I'm probably not going anywhere. You know. I mean, that's only 5 days away, right?
I don't believe we mentioned on the air that you had done a test for COVID.
I haven't yet, but I have okay. A cold. I mean, you and I talked before the podcast about a number of things, and I said, yes. I didn't want to talk about it on the podcast. I didn't mean not broaching the fact.
Okay. That I've been in. Okay. That's we were not specific about what right. we did and did not. Well, so I was just skipping the whole deal.
Also, most of the other stuff that we talked about, it's not that I don't want listeners to know. It's just I don't want to bore people with all that stuff. But yes, I have been having a cold and I'm going to test myself for COVID.
Someday we're going to have a talk about how you choose what things you
want to help people with. I know. It's not always easy for me either, actually. So, I mean, I mess it up myself all the time. But right. So I've had a cold this week, which I wasn't going to bring up. But since you asked what I'm going to do for the fourth, I will say I've had a cold. I'm going to test for COVID. And if I have it, obviously, I'm not going anywhere. If I'm still symptomatic on the fourth, again, I'm not going, you know, even if it's not COVID, I'm not going to give it to somebody else. But if I do feel better around the fourth, it's possible that the family will do something, but I don't know that yet. I think they're all trying to figure that out. If worse comes to worse, I mean, we'll just do what we often do when the family doesn't get together is we'll just do something nice here, which also maybe the kids might come over. Like, I don't know. I don't know if they have any plans, because we didn't talk about it last time they were over. But I mean, it all kinds of depends on how this illness goes. I don't think it's anything serious or anything, but I want to be careful not to get anyone sick.
I just realized, are you close enough that you can like sit in your driveway or maybe somewhere in your backyard or whatever and see the Coralville fireworks pretty well?
A lot of them. But like if they have anything that's kind of low, you know, there's houses and trees in the way. But yeah, we can usually watch from
that'd be handy.
See most of the stuff that gets high, but you really notice how many are really low when you have to do that, because there's a lot of them. I mean, a lot of the noisier ones are pretty close to the ground.
So you're like, something's happening.
Yeah, you can hear them, they're loud, but
it's always a thing. I like fireworks. Trish really likes fireworks. I really hate being outside in the Midwest summer.
Yeah.
And so
really miserable.
Our relationship has been a lot of how bad do you want to see fireworks? How much are you willing to sacrifice for me? And it's easing up a little bit now. We have a friend who works in a building that is climate controlled and gives a very good view of the Iowa City ones. So sometimes we just go with them there. And also, as time goes on, Trish is less concerned about me going with her. And I mean, she loves them, but also we're getting old and tired. And so whether or not it's worth the trek to do it or whatever is becoming less and less of a thing over time. But I think fireworks in general have always been more of a middle of the country thing. I think in general, from what I can tell, the middle of the country, places that don't have the beach and or mountains and who often don't have a lot of forest, do a lot more manufactured fun. Where they're like, we're going to come up with cool shit. And that includes often like amusement parks of varying sizes and things like that. And just in general activities and roadside attractions and things like that. And fireworks is one of those. Like, I knew of fireworks. I've seen fireworks. Mostly growing up, we just did the ones we did, because in Oregon, there are some personal ones you could do. And also, my uncle and his family would go get illegal ones and bring those too. But like fireworks shows were not things that really registered to me. And as far as I knew they existed, it didn't sound that interesting. I'm like, whatever. And then I went to some and I'm like, oh, these are actually pretty cool. Yeah. But again, if you're willing to spend a few hours beforehand sweating to death on uncomfortable ground or in uncomfortable folding chairs while being eaten alive by bugs.
Right.
And so I was like, hey. So it is interesting, Lizzie, you can hit both of them, because Iowa City's one is Saturday. And then if it rains, they already have set that it'll be Sunday.
Oh.
Although I think the weather's going to be fine from what I can tell. And then Coralville's just going for it and doing it on July 4th, which is on a Monday. And so, like, people got to go back to work the next day.
Right.
So that one will be interesting. So I don't know that we'll really do anything with that, but that's fine. I'm not super big into it. And I'm not super patriotic. Go figure. Don't be sad. It's fine.
We saw fireworks when I was growing up quite often. And when I moved here, I think I missed them several years. I don't know why. I mean, it wouldn't have been that hard to get to the city park in Iowa City when I was living in Iowa City. I don't know. I just didn't do it, which was because I did like them. I loved fireworks. I loved when I was living at home, us going down out on 4th of July to see them. But for some reason, when I got to college, there's a lot of stuff I quit doing. Like for a long time, I didn't go to the Iowa State Fair either. I mean, that's a lot of stuff away, but
happens in college. College gets weirdly sort of self-contained.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of things. There's a lot of like TV shows and movies that don't register for me. And I'm like, oh, because they were really big when I was in college and we didn't care. Like right. That kind of stuff.
Yeah. That's kind of what it was like.
One year when I think I was like 12, I may have talked about this before. My brother, who is, you know, also lived in Oregon and then went to college in Minnesota at Gustavus Adolphus College, and then came back to Oregon and worked for a few years there, and then decided what he really wanted was to work in college admissions and got a job at his old college. And he decided he wanted to live out there anyway. And so he invited me, and we went on like a 4 or 5 day cross-country trip from basically Portland, Oregon to St. Peter, Minnesota. And then I flew back. And it coincided with July 4th, and neither of us really cared, but it was a ton of driving, and we were driving the night of July 4th, and you could see fireworks at like towns. And then eventually one was really impressive enough that we pulled off. It was like a park nearby. We weren't actually near it, but it was a park that was like just flat ground, so we could totally see it from here. And we just parked outside this like baseball diamond and just watched. I do not know what town it was. It was probably in Nebraska or something. And we just sat there and watched the fireworks. It was pretty cool. And then we got back on the road.
I like that story. That's a good one.
It was nice. There's a lot of weird stories from that trip. I learned that hail can be much bigger than I thought it was. It was my time going to Yellowstone. We went to a hot spring that was closed. We broke into it. It was awesome. I finally got to experience wall drug.
Right. In South Dakota.
That was exciting. Yeah. Good time. I thought I had something to say there otherwise, but I don't remember. All right, let's do email. They are precious. We have not many, but we must read them. It has no mouth, but we must read. All right. Maybe we're going to make you do it. I don't know if it's working. All right. Yeah. Okay. So my tablet's losing its mind. So why don't you read it?
Okay. Is the next one up from Stu?
Sure. Why not? When I was in there last, there were only two, and I think one was Stu and one was Agito. I think there have been more since, but I don't know.
Stu wants to know, what will be your next podcast project?
I'm so glad you asked. It's going to be a retrospective of Facts of Life. We're going to go through each episode. We're going to take the good. We're going to take the bad, take them both. I don't know. You've done more podcasts than I have. You have been instrumental in at least three that I know of.
Just those three. And I haven't done the other two for a while, unfortunately. Although sometimes I'll go back and listen to the episodes. And aside from some of the sound problems we have, they're actually quite good. And one was with my brother to talk about all kinds of screen entertainment, movies, games, whatever. and the other was with jazz. And it was about culture and the impact of prevailing narrative over, you know, cultural events and how people perceive culture and different things that happen. I thought that was really good too, but it demanded a lot because I edited those.
That's a terrible idea. Why would you do that?
Well, because I mean,
does that make you them better than me?
No.
You sure?
And so it took a lot of time to do it, and I suddenly didn't have that time, so I stopped scheduling them. And then after a while, it's like, oh yeah, I used to do a podcast every Monday or whenever we were doing it. Just got away from me. But I mean, the ones that are out there, you can still find and listen to from my website. But
well, that was before the power of Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
So you could bring it back in a big way. Jazz, hit this boy up. Get back into your grapevine business.
But ever since that one business meeting we had where you talked about doing that made up true crime thing that was actually a procedural thing. I've been working on that. So.
All right.
That will probably be the next one.
Who's going to be the quirky / antisocial new main character that has to work with the by the books police officer?
Well, in true crime things, that's usually like the lead investigator, or sometimes it's like a lawyer who's trying to protect a person from being falsely accused. I mean, we've got a lot of options.
Yeah. I'll be honest. Not doing another podcast. Stu, what is wrong? Maybe this was in response to the fact that last week we were like, this is over. And
maybe
in a weird sort of paradoxical twist, Stu sending in an email asking what we will do next kept us alive. So yeah. We're not doing anything next because we're still doing this. So yeah. Stu's a Time Lord, I think is what that means.
What would we do? Like, let's say we wanted to change it up. We've never talked about this, but
I've been daydreaming.
Okay.
A little bit. And I wouldn't do this because it would be more work. And also because there are 8 million of this podcast already out there. Including many that are wildly successful and many that are trying to copy those successful. And it just a terrible idea. In addition to being a ton more work. But I will say this. I am fucking burning through the Adventure Zone, which is the McElroy brothers and their father playing D&D. And it's just really entertaining and funny and also very compelling and disconcertingly kind of makes me want to play D&D, even though I'm not a fan of that game. But like, I have dreamed before of a role-playing game actual play podcast. It seems fun. In reality, it'd be a bunch of work and it wouldn't be that good. And also, there would be no distinguishing it from all the other ones out there, except maybe that it would be worse. So it wouldn't happen. But I really enjoy those. And I think they are fun. I'll tell you this. The market is so saturated now that I have seen multiple YouTube videos from like large channels that are all about things that game masters in like professional play podcasts and things do that you as a game master should not do because it's different when you're producing some sort of show to entertain versus when you're gaming. And so the fact that like it is so ubiquitous now that there are multiple occasions of being like, okay, people, we know you love D&D and we know you love listening to all the D&D, but you are not a professional. And here's why that won't work. I think shows how saturated the market is, and I would not be into it. I'm trying to think. I mean, the classic is take a TV show with a billion episodes and just analyze each episode of your podcast. And I could see that being fun. It also is very finite that way, and you have to be careful of that. But I could see doing that. At this point, I could see doing it with like Taskmaster. But again, been done. In fact, been done officially. In fact, there is an official Taskmaster podcast that talks about each episode. But also by plenty of other people. But like, I could see doing that. There's tons of ones that do Star Trek, of course. That kind of thing is fun. I think there aren't a ton of types of podcasts I would want to do. Among those types, most of them we just do here. Because I'm like, the two other podcasts you had, we do those things on this podcast if we feel like it.
Yeah.
And so I'm partially like, all of my podcasts are here in this podcast. So why would I need that? So yeah, I don't know. And also, I mean, if someone invited me to do a podcast in which they handled all the behind the scenes stuff, I could see doing that. But for the effort, however little it might be, for a podcast like this, I wouldn't do this with anybody but you. It wouldn't work as well, and I wouldn't find it as rewarding.
I wonder how difficult it would be to do a podcast that analyzes the episodes of every show of a particular thing, but the show doesn't actually exist.
I've seen, I mean, I haven't seen, I love that. Love that. again, it's the made up true crime thing.
Yeah.
The closest I have come to seeing that is near the end of the first era of the Cracked YouTube channel. It was also in the beginning of the Trump era presidency. And through an attempt to grab the zeitgeist, and also I think just monumental frustration on behalf of the staff, they created a show that was an after show for the scripted TV show that was in fact the actual Trump presidency.
Right.
Yep. And that was very clever in that same sort of way.
Yeah, it was. Although I'm thinking of a show that, it's not making, it's not saying this is a show, so we'll talk about that. Although that could, you know, that could still be done. You could keep doing
it. Yeah.
You could take something and treat it like a show. But I mean, the show does not exist at all.
Yeah.
So everybody talking about it, it seems like, I mean, if you did it right, it would be hilarious. It would be exasperating in a fun way.
But also, if you did it right, wouldn't it be easier to just make that show?
Oh, I don't know.
Or would it? No. This is the thing. This might be the perfect answer for somebody who has good ideas for a show, but just can't connect the dots.
Don't have resources or whatever.
I can make the highlights, and then we can make a show talking about the highlights.
Right.
But
so,
no, actually the masterpiece of this is you make it like we do this. Episode 600, we stop doing this show. The following week, we do a show analyzing each of our episodes every week from the Magical Talking Hat podcast.
Hmm.
We call it Talking the Magical Talking Hat podcast.
Oh my gosh. That would be, I have no idea what that would be. Anyway, we can't end at 600. If we're going to get to 600, we have to get to 666. We have to.
That's true. Our Dark Lord commands it. But earlier, when you so easily deflected, even just with a look, the tremendous compliment I paid you, I do need to add that I don't know if like magically there was another you that I would want to do a podcast with. I don't know that I would want to do it because we've hit a groove that like I would hate to go back to the clumsy not knowing what the fuck we're doing of the earlier episode.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you've been married for a while and you think, oh my God, what would it be like to be dating right now? Oh,
right?
Thank God, I don't have to do that. Yeah,
that's because that's like the thing is each week I have to dedicate, I'd say, a total of 2 hours to do anything with this podcast. And back in the day, it was way more than that. For a much less polished product. Yes, people, this is more polished than you think. Go back. If you never did, listen to the early stuff. We didn't know what we were doing.
No.
And now, well, I should rephrase. We've never known what we're doing. We currently don't know what we're doing either. We are much more aware of how little we know now.
Right.
And it works, yep. Serves us well.
More comfortable in our lack of knowing.
Exactly. But yeah, I don't. It's another one of those things. I think it's like this week I didn't talk about it because there was no real point, but I think I maybe saw the worst movie I've seen in my life. And you'd think that would be worth talking about, but I don't mean like offensive train wrecky or whatever. I just mean in terms of the worst ability to, I by myself with no money and my phone could make a better movie in just about every aspect of production compared to this thing. It was only an hour long. I would say there was 10 minutes of plot in it. The plot made no sense. The acting was worse than, I mean, I don't know how to put this. It, other than the simple, oh my God, it burns my eyes factor, this movie was worse in every conceivable way than The Room.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The Room was a better made film. And certainly more, because this also wasn't fun at all. Like, a lot of it was watching people walk or watching people make dinner, like in real time. We had a montage of two people putting up Halloween decorations. That wasn't a montage. It was just a series of full scenes watching them put up decorations, by which I mean taping shit into windows, hanging up one bat, and then a weirdly like 2 minute long thing of them trying to get fake spider web onto a bush. By the way, the Halloween decorations did not factor into the plot.
Or the fact that it was around Halloween at all.
I mean, that was mentioned often, but no, it did not matter. I mean, I guess it did because at one point we thought trick-or-treaters would show up and there was no one. It was a slasher. But it's also weird because it was a slasher where halfway through the movie ended. Like, we found out who the slasher was and we killed them. Oh. And then we cut to like 2 weeks later and it turned out they weren't dead. And we still did the whole them sneaking around and they were wearing a mask as though it was a mystery. I'm like, I know who that is. Like, it's a specific character and I know already. And yeah, it was just awful. And insult to injury, it was bracketed by a homemade attempt at like Elvira's midnight movie kind of thing that was also awful. It was so bad, and I won't tell the title because I don't want to hurt feelings, but it was like really awful.
I think I've mentioned this before, but I noticed this with Iowa filmmakers and filmmakers in general, the population of horror filmmakers seems to have a disproportionately large number of people who got into film because they watched a horror movie and said, oh, I could do that. Like,
And the genre notoriously is the best financial investment.
Yeah.
As well. But a lot of people undercut it. And in fact, and to give you perspective, last night I watched an also terrible amateurish movie, but like it was so much more, like it was terrible, but I was so much, I was more, I enjoy the fact that I watched it. It's not good. And again, I won't mention it here because I wouldn't recommend it to anybody else, but like it was also shitty and handheld shot and nobody could act for crap and it made no sense, but I enjoyed it.
But I don't know any other genre that has so many representative samples of people who have no business making a movie. I mean, you get that in horror so much. It's almost its own subgenre. People who don't know how to make movies, making horror movies.
Oh,
but I don't see bad romances or science fictions or anything like that. I mean, to the same extent.
Exploitation films to a degree can have that. But yeah, horror is the big one. And that's the thing is you talk low budget and you talk no budget. If you're talking about no budget, it's almost certainly going to be a no budget horror movie. Occasionally action, but mostly horror. But anyway, all of this was to a point I was making, is that why people make movies like that. Like a small number might think, this is my ticket in and I'm going to be, you know, the next John Carpenter or whatever. Maybe a larger number than I like to think. But I feel like a lot of them, and the one I watched last night is a whole production company that's made like 20 movies and it's conspicuously all the same cast members and stuff. And they just fucking have fun making these movies.
Hmm.
And I think podcasting is the same thing. Some people think, and I thought for a long time, like we're going to, you know, draw attention and it's going to become a whole thing. We're going to be the next Critical Role. We're going to be the next McElroy Brothers. We're going to be the next WTF, things like that. You're not, you're just not. So really the only reason to do a podcast is if you're really into having loud conversations with your friend in public about stuff. And you're like, but I don't like going outside. And so
that pretty much applies to both of us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here we like, are.
Because we're not. Here's what we get out of this podcast. It's really good for us. We have a good time just interacting. And we have an audience, a vocal audience of like 7 of you. And we love you to death. But I'm going to be realistic here. With very few exceptions, y'all were already people that we loved. There are some exceptions. Like, I give points to Craig, but Craig and I already, like, none of the active community here found us from this podcast. Craig and I already knew each other from Happy Jacks. Azure Talon and I already knew each other from Happy Jacks, things like that. So has this helped cement those relationships? Sure. And I don't regret anything about it, but this is a fair amount of effort. And that's what we get. Like, we could have probably put in less effort and just individually worked on those relationships and come at the same point. And I'm really grateful for that. And I love doing it. And I don't want any of you to stop listening. But that has to be why you do a podcast.
Yeah.
Unless you're way better at it than us. And in my experience, in addition to a lot of effort and a lot of luck to be a good YouTuber or a good professional podcaster and stuff, so much of it is marketing your brand. And I can't speak for William, but I think I'm gonna when I say we both fucking hate that part of things.
Yeah,
we have no interest in doing that shit.
I mean, I did that with my website back in the day and I got some good traction and stuff, but it was a lot of work for a little reward. And of course I didn't like really any of it. I mean, I meeting cool people and stuff, which happened, was nice, but all of the work, I mean, I wanted to write, I wanted to create things, but of course you want people to read and see them. So then I would dedicate more time to that marketing piece than to the creative piece. And after a while I was just, like, no, this doesn't, I don't like this. So I'm just going to create and figure it out some other way.
Yeah. The people I know who do that kind of stuff work more than 40 hours a week if they're successful. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, they should do. More.
And you only see part of it, and it seems like, oh, it's way less time. You know, you've got to put up an hour a week or whatever. No, it's way more involved.
Yep.
And neither of us is interested in that. And again, I don't think I can speak for William, but I'm absolutely going to. We love what we've created here. And it's a little effort, but not a ton. And we're willing to do it. But like, I have a hard time picturing another one of this that somehow fills a gap. Now the exception being, okay, well, and here's a great one. And this is, I'm speaking to a few people, mostly David Vitt. If somebody else wants to GM a game over Zoom and record it and put it up on a website there, I'm here for it. I will totally be involved in that. But by and large, anything I might do with a podcast other than this is one of two things. Either I already get that from this podcast, or it would be a bunch of work I wouldn't want to do for not enough reward in any capacity. So
yeah,
not gonna happen too much. But if you think you would enjoy doing this and getting six of your friends to continue to be your friends via the internet, I highly recommend it. I find it incredibly rewarding in my heart. And it's a good time, and Zoom helps immensely.
Yeah,
Zoom was an absolute revelation for our podcast, and not just because now we have video. Like, it's just super plug and play now for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that, which is too bad. I had a weird idea that we would record at an IHOP one time. And even then I was like, oh, we probably have to get the Snowball mic out. I mean, we've done it, but it doesn't sound as good and it's a lot more work. And I'm like, I don't know if it's worth it, but this is super cool and easy. Now that I have talked about how much we hate marketing, I'm going to do some marketing. Starting tomorrow, which is to say July 1st, and going through all of the July, which is to say, I believe July 31st, my book, Odd Wings by Anthony K. Parsons, found at smashwords.com, is free to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the deal. Some of you bought the book and told me about it, and that's awesome. Some of you bought the book and read the book and told me about it, and that's awesome. There may be some of you who bought and or read the book and didn't tell me, in which case, tell me. I need external validation. And I'll take it if you just say, I bought it, but I haven't had a chance to read it. That's still better for me. I like that. If you don't fall into any of these camps, just go get it. Like, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to read it. This is exciting to me to see, oh, somebody bought your book, even if there's no money involved. Like, just go do it. It's free. Smashwords.com. You go there, you look up Odd Wings, Oddwings, or you look for Anthony K. Parsons. That's me. And you'll find it there. Get it. But if you want to go above and beyond, fucking read it. Tell me you read it. Tell other people you read it. Tell everybody how awesome it is. And then get the word. I'm not doing this for, I want fame. I don't want money. No, I'm not doing this for either. I want to know that I put a lot of effort into a story and that people are actually hearing that story.
Yeah.
Which I suppose is another podcast thing I could imagine. Doing a podcast, just reading a book. But again, I don't think my voice is the right narration for Odd Wings for a variety of reasons. Yeah, so go do that. And in the meantime, go to aethertheater.com gov. I don't remember. And get Williams books, Twilight Nurse. It's not what you think. Although there are vampires and werewolves in it.
Yes, there are.
That's kind of fucked up. But yeah, the books are unrelated to that. He came up with the name first. And they're pretty good. And there's some films there. There's a really good webcomic there. Check that stuff out. And again, you don't have to let William know. Let me know if you actually do this stuff, because I need attention. I don't have a job anymore. I'm a homemaker. I'm alone most of the day. I cannot get my cats to purchase my book, regardless of the price. We just like to know that our stuff is getting out there. We don't really care about the other things. But yeah, so it is Smashwords has a big sale in July, and I put mine up and I reduced the cost down to free because I just want people to get it and experience it. And also it's good. I'm gonna do it. No humility. My book is good. Is it the most polished, perfect thing? No. Is it a masterpiece? No. It's a damn good read. It's funny, it's interesting, it's a good plot.
It's a good interesting summer read, even.
Correcting. Yes, I do think it is a good read, particular to this season.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I was trying to make fun of it because I don't even know what that means. What makes it a book a good summer read as opposed to just a good read?
A good summer read is that it has a number of qualities. One, it's not super long. Your book isn't super long.
That is true. It is not super long.
Second, it's not it's not covering themes that are difficult to grapple with.
Oh, so we're talking about light reading, essentially.
Sure, light reading. Like the kind of reading you do at the beach, or you're laying out in the sun or whatever. Yeah. And you don't want the reading to be, you want it to entertain you, but you don't want it, you know, to feel like you're in graduate school.
It doesn't. Yeah. You don't want it to feel like work. I don't think it feels like work.
Right. I think it flows really well. It's very entertaining and light summer reading. It seems like to me.
Of course you're biased. You and I both have this, and it manifests in our lives. So it makes sense that it manifests in our reading. We want to be clear in our meaning. So I think our writing tends to have sections of more solid and explicit exposition than a lot of other books. Yeah, even when if certain things are meant to be vague, we will be very explicit about how they are meant to be vague.
Right, like someone will have a conversation about it, about how vague it was.
Yeah,
so that people don't miss that point.
And that is the, like for all others, there are other good books or whatever, but I'm like, my stuff, you will not be very confused, and there will be very few, if any, continuity issues that you have questions about, because I hate them. I work really hard.
Yeah.
Like it probably to my discredit, am more focused first on does it make sense than does it make a good story.
I think that I'm not that way too, yeah.
But we can do both. And I think William's stuff is quite entertaining. I loved the world you created. I was a little sad it was just that trilogy. I think it's a neat world. And I like the world that I've created, and I like the characters, and a lot of people like the characters. And Nobody so far has read it and told me it's bad. I think that just means I only hang out with humans and not embodiments of pure evil. That would be hilarious if somebody was like, hey, I read your book. It sucked. But I think it is good, so go check it out. Anyway, we're, I think, over time, and I got crap to do. So I have a life outside of the people. I know it doesn't seem like it because I'm begging you to let me know you purchased my free book and not even that you read it, but I do have a life. I have two lovely cats and a lot of video games. Oh, and a great spouse, but she's at work right now. Yeah, so do all the things to be involved with us. Smash that like button if you're watching on YouTube. Don't break your computer, though, or your phone, or I don't know, whatever the kids are into these days. Phones? Are they into phones?
How'd that get started? Smash the whatever button. Smash it. Someone said that
because we wanted very active. Yeah. An incredibly famous YouTuber, I'm assuming, said that, and everybody stole it. And now it's just become a cliche to make fun of saying that. Click the little bell to get notified anytime we have a new. That would happen, right? Like, I in no way have set this up with YouTube, but like, that's just a thing. Yeah. I love that that's a thing. It makes sense sometimes, but like in some way, like us, like, you know, click the bell to get notified, or just remember what fucking Thursday is, because we're always here Thursday.
Yep. Well, some people now these days are saying click the bell so you'll be notified, because they're afraid that the thing they posted won't come up in a person's feed. People aren't trusting the algorithm or whatever anymore.
Well, and I think YouTube includes all of that stuff, because that's the problem, is what a lot of them are trying to do is, hey, listeners, do the things that will make YouTube want to promote me and or give me more money.
Yeah.
And we don't care about that. But we do care that you listen, because secret is, we actually are strangers that got assigned to this and we don't really like each other. So the only way it makes sense is if you continue to listen, because otherwise we're all just jerking off. I stole that from Blazing Saddles, I think.
Oh, okay.
It was in a prayer then, but
I wonder if I'll ever pass the Turing test. I just wonder that sometimes.
I mean, you keep trying. You keep trying. One of these days.
I know. I'll make it.
Well, I mean, what really happens, according to a lot of people, is the educational system is dipping, and eventually the Turing test will be easier.
Oh.
And so eventually you'll be able to pass it, even though you didn't prove, because I think studies show that a lot more of our young people nowadays are being determined to be human rather than machines. And it's not because more of them are human. It's because the test is easier.
Well, I've got that to look forward to.
Yeah. Well, if you live long, I mean, it's a very gradual thing, and you're going to need a real easy Turing test. I mean, you got to stop calling the rest of us human, for starters.
I'm working on it. It's very hard. Yeah. Old habits, you know.
Yeah. You're not monotone anymore. I appreciate that. Not as monotone. I like to end on you laughing at one of my jokes, but you're so deep in the fiction here. It's not working.
And also, remember, I'm not feeling so well. So if I laugh too much, I'll get into a coughing fit.
Oh, that would be a great ending. Oh,
I got a whole.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.